Praise the Lord, everybody. You may be seated. God has given us an awesome day today. Pastor Roy told me, and I believe it. That's my story, and I'm sticking by it. Is everybody happy? Woo! Praise God. If you're here tonight and you're not happy, I will assure you, you can leave this building tonight happy. You can leave this building tonight satisfied. You can leave this building tonight delivered. Praise God. God has been so good to me. Sunday, I was walking by Peter Sandin, and he said to me, there goes the great-grandfather. And I looked around, I said, man, who's that? Lo and behold, he was looking at me. I was looking for somebody else. And I don't follow Facebook, so I found out that my grandson Richard is going married and is going to have a child here in the next 5 or 6 months. So praise God. What a wonderful thing. And also Sunday we had such a great time with my granddaughter Abby. My goodness. Came running down the aisle, said, Grandpa, Grandpa. And you just melt. You just melt. And she runs into your arms. And let me tell you how much I'm enjoying this grandfather thing. Someone asked me how it feels to be this old. It feels tremendous. A long time ago, I had determined in my heart that I'm going to live every moment that God gives me, and I'm going to be happy about it. I get senior discounts. People open up doors. I did something really crazy. No, that's hard to believe, but I was over waiting for a gentleman. We were at the a local restaurant, and the table was kind of crooked, you know, and I thought, I'm mechanical. I can fix this thing. So I got down on my hands and knees, and I took the little screw on the bottom, and I turned that thing down, and thing was just sturdy as a rock. And all of a sudden, I realized, how am I going to get back up? So I'm there on my hands and knees, and people are kind of looking at me, and I says, well, I'll just grab a hold of this table. Pull myself up. And I did, but the tablecloth does not hold you up. So everything went flipping off the tablecloth. The table turned over on me. All the waitresses come over. Sir, sir, are you okay? Should we call 911? I should have played that one out, but I just didn't. So there's some things you do. You wonder, what in the world was I thinking? And obviously, not much. I've enjoyed all the years that I've spent here at Calvary Gospel Church, and I'm not afraid of getting older than I am right now. And I look around and I see so many young people, and you might think I'm envious of you, but I'm not, because see, I've already run almost all the race. I'm coming down into the final home stretch, and I'm feeling good about it. I have run the race. I've endured a lot of things, seen a lot of things. God's blessed us beyond our wildest imaginations. But see, many of you are still going to have to face a lot of those fiery trials, a lot of those things that I know most of you that have been here for some time have went through a good number of things, but something about a trial, it's just kind of like a pop quiz. God just, it's there, and you really do not have time to prepare for it unless you're wise enough to prepare before it gets there, and that's really the gist of it all. My message tonight, the title is The Black Box. Praise God. In the last few years, I think we've all heard so many stories about the infamous black box. And they're always looking for the black box, and a lot of times they can't find it. But the black box is to determine if they can. Experts believe they can determine why the crash, what happened, what was the happened right before the crash. And actually, even today, there was a thing in the newspaper about a train that derailed in somewhere out east. And one of the things, first thing they were looking for was the black box, because they wanted to know if there's any information. There's black boxes on trains, which I wasn't aware of. Praise God. But there are recorders installed on the train. So in March 8, 2014, Malaysia Airlines flight number 370 disappeared without a trace. Really, thousands and thousands of hours and millions of dollars were spent looking for that airplane and looking for the black box because they wanted to try to determine why the plane crashed. Interestingly enough, on March 25th, just recently, 2015, German Wings Flight 4U9525 crashed in the French Alps while en route to Barcelona to Dusseldorf. Now, the black box was found in that crash, but it was the horrible minutes, last minutes of that crash, it just kind of opened up my eyes. It determined that the co-pilot deliberately crashed his plane in the French Alps. In fact, the day before that, he'd taken and went all the way down to where he almost crashed, and he pulled it back up, and it was like he was practicing to see what he could do with the plane. The very next day, he actually committed suicide, killing himself and 149 other people on board. The captain was heard in the black box recording, demanding to be let back, trying to break down the door. It said that the Wednesday report found that the air traffic controllers and military defense personnel tried to contact the plane on 14 occasions and while it was descending, but they just couldn't get him to stop. And I began reading about the black box, and I found out that the black box isn't black, it's orange. There's not one black box, there's two orange boxes, and they're bright orange. They've got fluorescent tape wrapped around. They're made out of titanium. They can withstand 3,400 G's force upon impact, which is like amazing amount of force, and they can survive under temperatures up to over 2,000 degrees. Praise God. And I know that all that information, you're all going to write that down. The cockpit voice recorder is the one we read about the most, and it records the voice, it records the blood, I mean, just about everything that they can about the pilot, particularly the voices in the instruments. The flight data recorder records the altitude, the direction the plane is flying, the cabin temperature, and so on and so forth. How much fuel is left? It stores about 25 hours of data. Now, if the plane crashes, and these black boxes or orange boxes, or the only purpose for them is try to determine why the plane or the vehicle crashed. So I want you to know tonight that God also has a recording device. Praise God. And it's far more superior to the man-made version. When I began to study for this, I really found, you know, it's like every time you study for a message, particularly a Bible study type message, your heart begins to get stirred because you realize there's some things in here that God wants not only you to share with other people, but he also wants you to get it. You know, you're going to be held responsible for the things that you preach. Brother Granite told me years ago, he said the hardest thing for any preacher to do is live up to his own preaching. Praise God. So I think that would go as far as having children. You tell your children what to do, have the right attitude and the right spirit and do all the things, and suddenly something comes your way that kind of rattles your cage, and so you have to go back and apologize, obviously. Now, God's recording device is turned the moment you were born. It starts to record every event in your life. Nothing is excluded. Every heartbeat. His text tonight is in Revelation 20:12, kind of describing God's recording device or what he uses to record in. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, unlike the black boxes and airplanes, God's recording device will always be working. It doesn't have a shelf life, doesn't have a battery. It just keeps on working. And it does not have an expiration date. But you do, and so do I. One of these days, we're going to expire. And at the end of that expiration, then, the books will be open, and we'll be able to, God's going to determine our eternal destination. So it only makes sense that we should be really searching our hearts to see exactly where we are in this. Pastor Roy has been preaching tremendous messages and doing his dead level best to give us what God has given him, and he's exhorting us to get serious about this. This is not just a small thing. If there's anything in your life that is superseding what we're doing here, I suggest that you take a hard look at it, because it's not eternal. Praise God. According to Ephesians 1:4, God began recording you before the foundation of the world. Ephesians 1:4, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And before God said, let there be light, he had already had you recorded in his book. Isn't that amazing? That he knew you before you were born. In fact, while you were still in your mother's womb, the psalmist writes, and I kind of look at this as God recorded us in the womb with his holy ultrasound, just like an expectant father, he wants, and mother, they want to see what the baby's going to be like. But Psalms 139:15, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously brought in the lower parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which is in continuance were fashioned, when they as yet was none of them. And the other thing about this business of God recording, he doesn't only record what we do, he records what we don't do, and he also records every word that we speak. Look at this in Matthew 12:36. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. I don't know about you, but I've said some idle words that I wish I'd have never said, and I thank God that I do my dead level best. When you say something, go and repent, would you? Do yourself a favor. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. The psalmist writes, life and death are in the power of your tongue. Now, God not only records them, but there's some other things that he has recorded. In Revelation 5 and 8, the Bible says that he's recorded every prayer. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Sometimes you get to praying and you just, you're praying for people, you're interceding for people, and you think, well, those prayers are, you know, they're just gone. No, they're not. God's recorded those, and they're in a vial in heaven, and one day they'll be poured out upon the earth, and people will actually hear your prayer. The Bible says in Psalms 56:8 that every tear that you have ever shed is recorded. Thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? In thy book, God's keeping track of everything. Praise God. Every hair, don't you dare laugh, on your head is recorded. That would be an easy count for me. But nevertheless, Matthew 10 and 20, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. And it's not all negative. God is also recording godly work, every good thing. Hebrews 6 and 10, the Bible says, for God is not righteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed towards his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. See, God has opened up a heavenly bank account, if you want to call it that, in heaven. And the things that you do that are good, they're recorded in there. They go into your account. As a man soweth, so shall he reap. There will be a time when you need to go up there and ask God for some mercy. And he's going to look in your account. He says, well, did you show mercy? Did you show love? And then the fourth thing is everyone who fears God is recorded. Malachi 3 and 16. Then they which feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. Did you think about his name today? Did you think about this holiness today? Listen, fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the awe and respect and the love that you have for him that you cannot contain, that you would not even consider saying or doing anything that would offend the Almighty God. You know, think about that. Praise God. What a beautiful thought. Praise God. And the other thing here is that he does record every thought. Our thought light is open and visible to God. Every thought has been recorded. Praise God. In Hebrews 4 and 12, the Bible says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of your heart." Brother Grant has preached over the years about stinking thinking. You know, the devil is definitely trying to get into your head. He wants to put negative thinking in you that will diffuse the power of God. It'll put you under condemnation. And if you're not careful, you can lose your soul because of your thought process. You've got to beware of what you're thinking. The fiery darts of the wicked one come in 24/7. If you don't have the shield of faith up, you'll find your mind wandering all over the place. And you'll find that there's a little dialogue that's going on. He's trying to push into your world. He's trying to get you separated from the Word of God. That, oh, it's okay if you do this. It's okay if you do that. Don't worry about that. The spirit of compromise comes from thoughts that try to enter into your heart and your mind. Praise God. When we're born again, praise God, God delivers us from many of the things that had us bound. He goes to the book of life, and I'm so thankful for this. He goes to the book of life and all the ordinances that were against me, and I had a whole big bunch of them, and he erases them. There's a reset button on the Lamb's book of life, and when you go down in that water baptism, you come up out of there and you're clean. The book of life has no offenses against you, and I praise God for that. Is anyone here glad that they are clean by the blood of Jesus Christ? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh my, I could not believe it when the urge for tobacco and alcohol and drugs and all the other goofy things I was involved in, it just left me. The spirits that had me bound were gone. If you're not rejoicing about your salvation, my friend, you're missing it. You're missing the whole point. You have got to get a spirit of thankfulness in your heart, a spirit of submission to the Almighty God and His Word. So that when you wake up in the morning, it doesn't really make much difference what's going on around you. What really matters is your relationship with the Almighty God, what He's done for you. Praise God. If you can't think that way, you need to go back, get on your knees, go and have the reset button pushed again. Ask God to forgive you. Hallelujah. But there's a deeper level of repentance than when we first come to the kingdom. We first come to the kingdom, and it's all about physical things that God takes care of. He does everything for us. He started at the cross. He took all of our sins and iniquities. His blood washes clean. He gives us a brand new spirit and a brand new attitude. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Do you feel like that? But that's not the end. That's just the beginning. There's a deeper level of repentance that God is wanting us to get into. That includes the thoughts of our heart. It's easy in this pace that we live in to forget that God is recording your thoughts. Every day we all sometimes have thoughts that come to us that why did I say this? Why did I do that? That thought came into me. Don't wait. When those fiery darts come, just get rid of them. Praise God. The black box in the plane can only record the physical. It has no way of recording your thoughts. You know, when you think about the scripture and what's going on in regards to just how God judges your thinking, let's just take a look at a few scriptures that might help you. It helped me when I began to go through these, Pastor Roy. I'm thinking, my goodness, I've got all this done, but I've got these other things here that I sometimes don't even think about. 1 John 3:15, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. Woo. You know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. You ever dislike somebody? You ever had a root of bitterness spring up inside of you? Boy, this is that's like a one-way ticket to hell. If that root of bitterness gets in there deep enough, friend, you will have a difficult, difficult time to dislodge it. It can be done on your knees, but why go there? Why get to the place where you cannot stand a person or people? Every person that you may have an issue with, they have a soul. And you are there for a particular purpose. That purpose is to seek and to save that which is lost. I'm so thankful that Jesus didn't give up on me when I was involved in all these crazy things. I'm thankful that he didn't give up when he was persecuted, beaten, stripped naked, bitten, had his beard ripped off, put a crown of thorns put on his head. Praise God. He didn't give up. He didn't give up. Praise God. Okay, so hate you'll be judged just like you murdered somebody. Whew. How about unforgiveness? Whoa. It's spiritually fatal. If you will not forgive someone for whatever they've done to or for, you are putting your soul in jeopardy. You say, oh, but you don't know what they did to me. Oh, but you don't know the Word of God. You've got to forgive them or God will refuse to forgive you. Woo! I wish I had some of them fancy socks on like Noah has. Praise God. So if you get stirred up about something or someone, don't get a root come up in you. That taproot goes way down in, and you see just this little thing coming up here, but down below that surface, if it gets too big, you'll have a tough, tough time. And if you defile somebody by your root of bitterness, you know the thing with people who are bitter, you know what the first thing they do? They go to someone else. So now they've got a root of bitterness. Now they spread that, and they defile someone else. Now they're a gossip and a backbiter. So you've influenced the person whom you're with, and nothing's resolved. The only thing that will resolve that is go to that person and seek forgiveness. Praise God. Jesus made it quite clear that if you're living a godly life, you will be persecuted. But don't let your good be evil spoken of. Let God transform your life to the point where you're sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, far above all principality and power and dominion and might, and every name that is named. Praise. This is where God wants us, because we are battling against spiritual wickedness in high places. We're not battling against one another. We're battling against spirits that are coming against us, and they're looking for an opportunity to divide and conquer, to put something in your heart that you cannot forgive someone for, or whatever it might be. Praise God. In the Gospel of St. Matthew, Jesus redefines adultery. Uh-oh. Matthew 5:27, you've heard it, that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath already committed adultery. Is this too plain tonight? God's reaching out Pastor Roy has been preaching to us. He's been preaching his guts out. And he's been doing this because I believe God is telling him what we need to do collectively as a body. We need to put away all evil, all appearances of evil. And when that's all done, then you got to get into the thought process. You've got to get rid of stinking thinking. You've got to put the fiery darts of the wicked one out. You need the shield of faith so he can quench them. You need to be in church every time these doors are opened, every time there's a prayer meeting here. If there's anything going on in your life that's more important than that, you're being deceived. Praise God. Something about living for God, it seems to be he's not looking for part-time help. He's looking for full-time people who are ready to be all in. When I was in the world, let me tell you something about being all in. I was all in a negative sense. Everything I did for the devil, I did it 112%. And I never looked back. I never even thought about it. That's just the way I'm wired, I guess. I wonder tonight how many countless millions of people, Pastor Roy, have watched pornography and never once considered that they just committed adultery. That's what the Word of God says. So, if you're tempted but in that sin, cut your hand off so you can't turn it on or something. Praise God. How many people would do what they're doing knowing they're condemning their own soul? I'm not going to forgive so-and-so, but you can't make it with this. Oh my, things are getting quiet here. That's good. God has given us a conscience. He has put something inside of us. And that conscience, in the beginning, it's hard to override that. When you first get born again, it's very hard to override your conscience because the Spirit of God is so active and you're so excited. But if you don't really work at it, we can choose to override that still small voice. We can choose to override our pastor preaching his heart out to us. We can say, oh, that doesn't pertain to me. Oh, yes. We're going to have to give an account for every word that comes across this pulpit, whether you like it or not. Praise God. In 1984, a Boeing 707 crashed into the side of a mountain in Spain. Black box flight recorder brought an amazing discovery. Several minutes before the airliner crashed, the flight recorder captured the voice of an electronic warning given to the pilots. This message was to adjust the flight pattern. Warning, warning, warning. Adjust the flight path. And the alarm went off at least 14 times. And the pilot got angry. So he reached over, and he turned off the warning, and he said, "Shut up, gringo." Can you believe that? This is a true story. Minutes later, the plane plowed into the side of a mountain. The warning voice was silenced. In all, it was 149 people went to their death because one man. What a waste. But you know something? When we don't heed to God's warning, guess what happens? Every love link in your family is affected. Your testimony is affected. Your neighbor is affected. Backsliding, the Bible says, is a slippery slope. Why go to the edge of the pit and wonder if you're going to fall in it? Just stay way far away from danger. You know what your danger is. You know what your weakness is. Stay away from it. The Bible says walk circumspectly around evil. Your evil may not be my evil, but if you know what your temptation is, it could be excessive fishing. I'm sorry, Jim. Oh, he's not here. But you follow what I'm saying. Anything can become your idol. God wants us to have a great time. He wants us to do everything that's within the realm of His Word. But don't let anything come between you and your God. Don't ignore the warning. If you do, you're going to hit the mountain. You're going to hit the mountain, and you're going to crash. My heart breaks every time I start thinking, and I've been thinking about it a lot lately, all the precious people I've known in the 35 years I've been here that have been in this church, that have been stalwart, good, hardworking saints of God, working on bus routes, teaching, singing, preaching, doing all kinds of great things for the Lord. And they did not heed that still, small voice. Something in them, they thought they were going forward, but they went backwards. They got an attitude. They got a spirit. You know, spiritual pride is a terrible thing. If you think you stand, beware, lest you fall. Because that's the very time where Satan can get into your pride and cause you to have a crash. You know, long before that happens, I believe God talks to our pastor. He gives us warnings. He's being led by the Holy Ghost. So when he preaches, if you're not here, you'll still be held accountable for it. You know, Bishop Grant has preached over the years that some people will sow seeds to their own destruction. I didn't quite understand that at first. And then one by one, I saw some wonderful men and women who would not listen to the counsel of the godly. They listened to the counsel of the ungodly. They didn't listen to the counsel of the Word of God. They didn't listen to their pastor. Some of them did something as simple as moving away from Calvary Gospel Church. You say, well, is that a sin? No. But if you're moving for any other reason other than ministry, you're being deceived. Is this the only church in the world that you could go to and be saved? No. But it sure helps. So God always gives us a choice. God is not willing that any one of us should perish. And every one of us should come to a place. See, repentance is not just something we did when we first came in. The Apostle Paul says, I die daily. Every day we have to come to a place and have God open up our heart and reveal to me the hidden thoughts of my heart. Show me, Lord, what I have to do. Is there anything that I'm putting ahead of you, God? Is there anything in my life that's an idol? Do I have any soul ties? Do I have anything that would cause me to lose out on this? Because one of these days, the trumpet's going to sound, and the dead in Christ is going to rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the Lord, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. It's not time for catch-up football when that trumpet sounds. It's time to be ready before it happens. Don't be the one of the five foolish versions, be the five wise that had oil in their lamp. You should be speaking in tongues every single day. You should be reaching out to God every single day. Don't go two or three days before you speak in tongues. Every day you should be looking for something or someone to minister to. It should be a habit. Witnessing is not something you do when it. You should be getting up in the morning and say, Lord, who can I share this gospel? Send somebody to me that I can witness to. Someone who is hungry for God. Someone who I can intercept before they make the fatal mistake. And let me tell you, I know a lot of you have told me about how you've just kind of sort of stumbled onto somebody. No, it didn't happen that way. It happened because you had your spiritual antennas up. The Russells are a great example. Every place they go, I saw them one time in the Hy-Vees, and they're like two little bees going around. Hi, how are you doing? You know, they're just going from cart to cart, looking for an opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have everything they need to get to heaven, but we have to have a desire to share it. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is trying to get our attention in these last days. Terrible times, the Bible says, are coming. We're in the midst right now. I mean, you don't have to pick up your newspaper. It's not something futuristically. Things are happening today that have, people are wondering, how did all these winds change suddenly? Now the places that were always getting snow, longer getting snow. The places that are hot are getting cold. Places that got rain all the time are no longer getting rain. We're having, what is it, Mount Everest? They had an earthquake there, and it dropped, I don't know how much, but it dropped quite a bit. Praise God. We are here today in a place of safety. But we can't win the world here. We've got to get out there to affect the world. Praise God. I tell you what, I thank God that our pastor has given us a mandate and a vision to plant 25 churches in Dane County. Praise God. Now, everything is not bleak if you're having issues tonight. There's some scriptures here I want to share with you. I love these scriptures. Isaiah 1 and 18. Probably one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. The one who said, let there be light, said, hey, Rich, why don't you come over here and sit down with me? Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. The question is, if ye be willing and obedient. Oh, you mean I have to do something? I don't know about that. I don't know if I can be involved in the ministry. If you be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. Wow, let us reason together. That just always has blown my mind. God says, sit down, I want to reason, I want to talk to you. I don't want to have you sent into eternity lost. I want to help you. What are you thinking about? Why are you thinking that way? What are you doing? You're hurting yourself. You're opposing yourself. Oh, my. So this scripture gives me great hope. Let us reason together. The world may have given up on you. Society may say, hey, you're a loser. You may have even given up on yourself. 1 John 1 and 9 says this, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I said, if we'll just confess it to who? Confess it to the one you sinned against. You don't have to come to me unless you've offended me. Just every day confess. Every day get to a place. What happens? Let me tell you something. Because of the fact that we're being judged by every thought, you can not sin for 10 days but have stinking thinking for 10 days. And forget that you are thinking that because you have justified who you are and what your position is in Christ. And Satan's got you. He's coming in for the kill. Woo! You know, we have been offered complete amnesty. No record of our transgressions. Our sins, the Bible says, are removed as far as the east is from the west. Psalms 103 and 3. I love this scripture. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Psalms 103, 12. And as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgression from us. Oh my God. That is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thing. Some of you are still living in your past because of the things that you've done, and you still feel convicted of them, even though you went down in the water of baptism, and you come up, and all those sins are gone. But Satan's tricked you into believing that you're still, he's still condemning you for things that are under the blood. Talked to a guy not too long ago that was always talking about what he'd done, and I'm not sure God's going to forgive me. And so we went through the whole gamut of things. He still couldn't sort of get it. You know, one of the best days of my life was when I came to the point, and this has to happen to everybody. I was in the church, oh, probably a year, maybe a little bit longer. And I told my wife, I said, you know what? If this is truth, if this is truth, I have no option but to follow with all my heart. There is no other road for me if this is truth. And I believe it is truth. I felt like I was in a silo looking for a door. And all of a sudden, God says, well, are you going to stick? And I remember very well saying to my wife, I'm all, I'm, I'm going to be all in. I'm going to work. I'm going to do whatever it takes. Because I know I was blinded. I know that sin had gotten me. I know that I was dead to the world. And God now has renewed my soul. I owe. So it's off to the harvest field I go. Praise God. We should make up a song, Sister Leonardson. Because this is the way you have to feel. If the harvest is plenteous and the laborers are few, there is something wrong with our relationship with the Almighty God. If we can't fill every position here at Calvary Gospel Church, we've got talent coming from the rafters here. And I believe that this is the most active church in this district. We have more people working here than any place, but there's people that need to step up to the plate. God doesn't want you to just be where you're at. He's got big plans for you. I believe I'm looking into the eyes of pastors, preachers, evangelists, teachers. You may not see it in you, but it's no different than when you plant a seed into the ground. You don't know what it's going to be, but God knows exactly what you can be. There are no limitations, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. He doesn't look at your ability. He looks at your availability. Are you available to grow? Are you willing to put one foot in front of the other and get involved in ministry? Are you willing to put away your fishing pole for a couple of minutes and get down on your knees and pray? People are going to hell all around us, but we have to have the burden. We have to have the compassion. And if we don't have it, we'll walk right by them. Jesus said, there are people looking like trees, and you're walking right by them. Don't you know what's going on here? I'm trying to reveal to you that the people in your life, the people that God wants you to win, are just those people right around you. Praise God. Are you ready for a change? Are you ready for a change? Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? You need to set the reset button on your Lamb's Book of Life. You need to say, where have I progressed to in the last week, month, year, 2 years, 4 years, 5 years? How far have I gone? Where am I at now? Where was I 4 years ago? Have I set realistic spiritual goals? Does that make sense? Does this make sense to anybody? I'm helping somebody. Reset yourself. God is willing to do whatever it takes to get you back on track. And if you are on track, and many, many of you are on track, what's the next dimension? If you're around Roy Grant very long, you'll know that he started off with just this one little train track. And he says, what's the next dimension? Next thing you know, he's got a whole basement full of train. And this is the same thought process that went from having church here. Now the church is reaching out the building and putting outreaches every time we get someone who's hungry and thirsty to do something more than what they're doing at Calvary Gospel Church, there is an opportunity. You go see that man there, I guarantee you he'll find a place for you to preach and to teach. Some of you have local license, or some of you are aspiring for them. Praise God for that. But you need to pray, God, where do you want me? I want to be a member of Calvary Gospel Church, but I want to preaching point. I want a place to go that I might influence more than just the people in my ministry. Oh, hallelujah. Some of you think you're too young. David was 10, maybe 13 years old when he was anointed king, and only 16 to 17 when he slew the giant. So the youth is not a factor here. Moses was 80 when he began his ministry. Praise God. Daniel was 90 when he was thrown into the lion's den. So that kind of covers the gamut. Young and old, short. We know he takes fat people, because here I am. So there's no excuse. The excuse is this: we're not willing to pay the price to get to where we know we need to be. There are some hidden evangelists in here. Latent powers are inside of you. You are feeling that you could never do it. You're thinking somehow, I don't have what it takes. Listen, talk to Brother Hawk. Been in prison. Now he's a pastor at Revival Ridge. Talk to some of these other people. Hallelujah. Sisters loving sisters. Sister Burrell. Come on. You kidding me? Are you kidding me? She's got her own church building. She's winning people to the Lord. She's gathering people around them. Woo-hoo! You love that? Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Only God knows what you can't become. I don't think there's any limitation for anybody who's willing to grow God's way. First the blade, then the ear, then the corn. You have to plant something to get something. As a man soweth, so he's going to reap. Most people who are called into a full-time ministry never get a ta-ding. You're going to be a pastor. You evolve into it. You just keep working, and you keep working, and you keep working, and you keep praying, and you keep seeking God. And before you know it, God looks down. He says, he's faithful. Pastor Roy asked him to do this. He's faithful. He'll get that done. If you can't be faithful in the little things, don't expect God to give you a big-time ministry. You have to be faithful in the little teeny things. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. You know, if you're planning on doing something for God, listen to me when I tell you this. You're going to meet opposition. You're going to meet opposition, mostly from your flesh, but the devil is going to come. And he's going to try his dead level best. The Bible says everything that can be shaken will be shaken. So don't be amazed or wonder, why am I going through this? You should be rejoicing. 1 Peter 4:12, but think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice. Rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, he may be glad also with exceeding joy. Do you want God to be happy? I do. Do you want to do things that please God? Start winning souls. You can have every time you win a soul, there's going to be a party in heaven. Angels of God are going to rejoice. Now, I understand that it takes a church to win a soul. But somebody has to go out there and plant the seed. Somebody has to water it. Somebody has to play beautiful music to it. Somebody has to nurture it and pull the weeds out. Someone has to come up along their side with a burden in their heart. And you know they're hurting because God spoke to you. And he said, that person is hurting. So you call them on the telephone, and you talk to them, and you minister to them, and you do the dead level best you can to encourage them in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise God. If you'd stand with me. 1 Timothy 5:24. This is what you call a no-brainer. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment. Some men's follow after. Now, if you're thinking right, and you know that you can escape eternal judgment by repenting, going to the Lamb's Book of Life, press the reset button, and all the sins and things that you've transgressed since you were baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, it's gone again. Praise God, because the Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins and all of our iniquities. Praise God. Let's lift up our hands and worship him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise his name, praise his name, praise his name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. This Bible study has refreshed my heart, Brother Roy. It's got me thinking. We can all get to a place where we stop growing. Well, we don't have the fire we had. Book of Revelation says that you need to return to your first love. What does that mean? You remember your first love? You remember how excited you were? You couldn't get, people had to pry you out of church building. Lights are going on and off, and you're just sitting there talking to people and so involved in the presence of God. You just didn't want to leave. You know, you can leave here tonight right back on top of your game. All you have to do is determine you're going to get back in the game. No one kicked you out. You eliminated yourself. Praise God. Let's lift up our hands and worship the Lord.